It really was a cool visual at the Selman Athletic Center. I knew I couldn't make this press conference because of my previously scheduled eye appointment, but got to see a lot of photos out on Twitter of the championship trophies, and that was part of the whole situation. This was the reason for the press conference, even though you knew some other questions were kind of come up, and Michael spoke to those. But the six new trophies collected by four programs, of course, women's soccer and women's basketball, did the double with the conference championship regular season and tournament titles. And oh, by the way, this weekend on Bulls Unlimited 2, we will be replaying all of the games that are pertinent to this. And of course, baseball winning the conference championship would be another. And men's golf as well. And even though we didn't broadcast the men's golf team winning the American, I actually might replay the interviews from head coach Steve Bradley that I had right there in Brooksville, along with his players Alvin Bergstrom and Luke Gifford. We might present those to you in some form this weekend just to sort of go with the conference vibe. But yeah, that is the most posted by USF since 1998, and these were all in the spring. Of course, most of the sports were in the spring, so it makes sense. Back in 1998, Conference USA, six teams, seven trophies at that time. Six conference trophies tied for the program's second most ever. And again, if you want all the details, head to gousfbulls.com. And it was this great communal experience that we all got to enjoy, especially in most recent example with baseball, some of what Michael speaks about here. Then he gets into the 25th anniversary of football and how, well, you'll hear what he says. It's pretty interesting about needing even more support as we get back to full capacity.
We just think it's an exciting time. Winning is contagious here in Champa Bay. We've seen a lot of it here at USF now. And again, if you like the taste of it, now's the time to grow with it. I've sensed it within our student athletes supporting each other. I've sensed it within our coaches and staff supporting each other. And that's when it becomes fun, ladies and gentlemen. That's when college sports makes it a little bit even more special than anything else you'll touch, because this is more than just about the winning and losing. This is about how you prepare for life, how you prepare for your education, and you have that kind of school spirit and school pride that can kind of come from college sports that doesn't come from anything else. And for us to, I just really feel the right things coming together in terms of the right type of alignment between administration, the right type of alignment amongst our coaches, the right type of bonding amongst our student athletes. So that's why I'm excited about the pandemic coming to a close, so we can, they miss each other. They're just looking forward to being back together, not just in team, they've been with their teams, but you know, they haven't really been able to be together as a group of 400 and things we used to be able to do. So all the things we maybe took for granted in the past, I hope we never do again, and kind of take pride in the joy, not only in winning, but the joy of competing, the joy of being together, and the joy of trying to take pride in building something together that everyone wants to be a part of. We've been doing a lot of research as we get ready for our 25th season of football this year. You know, one of the quotes that came to my attention that really struck me was even 25 years ago when we were starting to have success or building the program to kind of take it to a new level with having football, and it said, USF Athletics will be as successful as its fans want it to be. All right, and that's pretty striking when you really want to think about it. Because it takes the efforts of the staff and of the student athletes and everyone that's kind of helped get us to this point, all right? And we're very grateful for everyone that's helped contribute to us to this point, and that's what's made us a lot of these dreams come true that we're talking about today. But it's going to continue to take all of Bulls Nation to continue to be as great as we want to be, and that includes buying the tickets and making the donations to the level that you can, and being a part of everything that you want. So when you think about it, it's an open invitation to the residents of Tampa Bay and all alumni of USF to basically say that, look, if you like the taste of success that we're having, now is the time to even join the Stampede even more. We've got people that have been with us forever, and we're grateful for that. We want them to continue. We want to make them feel special. But for others, it's an open invitation to the Stampede.
Love that open invitation. Oh, by the way, Champa Bay, he mentions, go Lightning tonight. It was more than a little bit of a bummer the way things unfolded. Was not happy on Wednesday, but I have a feeling we'll be able to forget that and look forward to the Stanley Cup against Montreal. If you were not up late Thursday night, the Canadiens advance past Las Vegas. Hey, the Bolts took the championship up in Canada last year, though. Not have any issues doing that again. Other issues in college sports in general. You knew that with this press conference, of course, he was going to get asked about the successes, but some also interesting topics. One is the whole name, image, and likeness.
Unfortunately, I'm a lot more uncertainty than I wish there was, but because of the leadership of the state, we know we've got the state laws in place. There's still some uncertainty about what exactly will be passed down from the NCAA, but at least we know with the Florida situation, we know that it's an opportunity for our young people. And about, we started talking about it a couple of years ago, of course, when we saw it coming down the path, but amidst the pandemic last summer, we put together a committee that's chaired by Don Castro in our compliance office that includes student athletes, head coaches, assistant coaches, staff, that we wanted to kind of become educated on everything we were learning about the state laws, about what might be possible, evaluating so many different, you get pitched by a lot of different companies and different folks that are trying to get into the business, and just trying to be as prepared as we can. And so I think that great work by that committee helped get our student athletes and certainly our coaches better educated. We still have to, it's gonna shift into overdrive here now even more. For instance, we have a meeting, you probably saw a week ago or so, we announced our, what we call our Boost program, which is an association with Influencer, and TeamWorks works with them as well. And that they've been a vendor of ours for a while, but that have really gone and helped us in this space. And we've got a day-long thing tomorrow with them, with our student-athletes, staff, student, so it's kind of almost like the birthday of it tomorrow to kind of really educate our team. So I feel as I truly believe we're as well prepared as anyone. I've really worked hard to kind of listen and learn from my peers across the country, but to have a support group like Influencer to have everyone as knowledgeable as we can, I think is a really good thing. As I've talked to some of the student athletes that I have, we're going to educate you, we're going to provide you the tools that we can, and hopefully you can take great advantage of it. I think the one thing that they have to realize, and all of us do, is that it is still different from just getting a check like from cost of attendance or something like that. You do have to kind of set up your own business. You got to capitalize your own personal brand. There are going to be undetermined limits to what we can do for them. So that's kind of that's the awkward part right now for me. I think we're well positioned, but now it's kind of like, all right, how can we lay it out so you can play it out and make it work from there.
Once that line of questioning began, you knew he was going to get a couple of follow-ups, but I thought this was interesting because a lot of people are saying, well, this is going to end the whole idea, the whole concept that student athletes are amateurs. Thought these were great comments in response.
Amateurism principle and definition is always kind of amorphous in that regard. I still think the cornerstone of college sports is the fact that you're coming to play for educational reasons, honestly. I mean, I know there's other reasons to do it. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of business to it. But at the end of the day, again, particularly here at USF, sure, we've got a lot of great people who've gone on to continue their professional careers, but at the end of the day, we've got 450 student athletes that are coming here to play the sport they love and get their education. And if now they can enhance that even more with some benefits that they can earn off their own name, image, and likeness and any other benefits we can extend, that's great. So to me, it's, again, back to this decade of it's only been finding ways to improve the experience, find better ways of whether it's fairness or just natural evolution. But I still believe the ultimate, that's why amateurism, the word itself is true, but you get into the Olympic stuff and all that. To me, it's more about this model is still based in the reason the ultimate benefit to play here is to get your degree. I say to our football student athletes that are usually here for 5 or maybe even 6 years, you can come here, you take care of your academic business, you're gonna walk out of USF debt-free with a master's degree. Hopefully now in the future, also with conference championships and with some money in your pocket if you take advantage of the opportunities with NIL, well, sign me up. That's a good deal. A
couple of other situations, of course, that have come up recently as the team announced that Tom Herrien is no longer with the men's basketball program after an examination of some comments that he was alleged to have made. We talked about it last week. Here's what he had to say about that. And, of course, while on men's basketball with all of the new members of the team, so many leaving, so many new guys that we'll talk more about next week. But as far as the departures, transfers, yeah, that's another big deal, but it's not just happening here. Here's Michael Kelly.
Pretty clear in terms of what we evaluated and the actions that we took, as I've talked about throughout this press conference and beyond, that we want a culture here that everyone believes, that everyone feels good and feels great about moving forward. And I think that we will do that and have done that throughout our process. And I know that you know, the staff we have in place and the staff that will come in will continue to get us back on track and lead us to where I expect us to be in men's basketball. You know, so I feel very good about that going forward. It is taxing, and I think the main thing I can say, and you know, I do try to stay calm all the time, as I told you before. You have to realize that is going to be a fact of life moving forward. There is change. There's change coming up with NIL. There's change coming with whatever comes with that, and with the transfer portal, with particularly the sports that now have it more opened up now. Do I think it'll always be as big as it was this year in terms of numbers? I hope not. I think this year is a little bit expanded upon because of not only the newness of the 1 year, but also the extra year of the COVID eligibility. So it's kind of a convergence of that kind of probably made it a more massive perfect storm in that regard. But I still think you're always going to have somewhere between 3 or 5 folks in basketball. And I always think you're probably going to have some level of that as well. So I would say that to everyone when you looked at, I mean, the fact that we have, you know, whatever, 7, 8, 9 people in men's basketball, 5 people from women's basketball that moved on, it doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong. It is now the reality of people taking a look at things. And really, every young man and woman, I think, has a different reason for it. And you try to dig into each one and say, all right, why are they leaving? Is it about your program? Is it about them? Because we want to help them as well as we can as well. But the days of when I sat in my living room as a young man in Maryland and could name the starting 5 of every ACC and Big East team for 4 years in a row are long, long gone. So that's just a reality that we all have to accept. And but again, I do think it's always going to be a fact of life of some turnover, no matter what, because people can find a new opportunity, they can find more playing time. You just don't know what motivates that person. They're not always running from something; could be running to something, but. And to your point on how do you adjust, well, I think as our men's and women's basketball program have already shown this year, it's looking a lot more transfers. You're using your relationships with those coaches a lot differently. And obviously, I think, as you've seen from our football recruiting, a lot of it's shifted as well to find the right balance between high school prospects and then transfers from other institutions. So it's a whole new world, and you've got to just change to what's best for you in your situation. So I think our coaches are adjusting well to it.
The 12-team college football playoff, Chris Torello of Spectrum Sports, who I owe this audio to, by the way. Thank you, Chris. Wanted to ask him about that, and yep, it's a good deal as well.
Let me just tell you that is great news for the University of South Florida and for the American in particular. I mean, if you, the fact that the first 7 years of the college football playoff, 5 years, we would have had our champion in that. That's great. And obviously, with my own direct and personal history with the CFP, was it technically true that Coach Scott could sit in front of his guys and say, you can make the college football playoff? Yes, it was technically true. Was it an extremely tough putt before? Yes, it was. But now, can you look at them in the eye and say, guys, with the schedule that we've got set for the next 10 years, we put ourselves in position to win the American. There's a very good chance that we're going to the college football playoff, and that's big time. So that's the main thing. You want our people, all of our kids, to have a chance to win trophies and challenge for championships. And obviously right now nothing's been looked into the revenue aspects and ramifications of that, but that's huge for us because, would there still be a gap between some conferences and others? Sure. But right now, guys, for us to be able to put into what we need to for facilities, to be able to put into what we need to on operating budgets, it clearly has to come from private funds as much as possible. And that's a great revenue generator possibility. So I'm hopeful it continues that way. I think it's great. The other thing I think that's great, and I know you had no other way to refer to it but the Group of Five moniker, but I really think the way they've structured it and positioned it right now, it gets rid of the Group of Five moniker. It says you're one of the top, there's 10 conferences that play at this level. There's a handful of independents. It gives 6 at-large possibilities. And it gives the top 6 ranked champions of whatever you want to call it a chance. And so that's the best thing, too, because that was kind of a moniker developed out of a lack of any other moniker to have, quite frankly, and it shouldn't exist, and certainly it shouldn't be a stigma, especially when you've had the type of success that the American has had over the past couple of years.
And we'll wrap up with this. Wouldn't it be nice to have a conference championship and to have a definite trip to the playoffs? He thinks it will happen.
Appreciate and like the leadership of Coach Scott and Coach Gregory. I'm confident in our abilities to reach that pinnacle. I think in men's basketball we were on a on a good success to hitting the speed bump this year. It didn't quite measure up what we thought we would this year, but I feel with the recruiting we've done and as we move forward, we're going to be well positioned in that. I think our league's very good, hopefully our league gets more respect on the basketball side so we can get more teams into the NCAA tournament. And I think it's all kind of a collective process of our doing our part and the rest of the league getting better. I think the league's already gotten better in the American on the football side, so that's why we're trying to, in essence, catch up after the last couple of years. And again, I believe with every fiber in my being that that Coach Scott is going to lead USF to a conference championship. It's just a matter of when. I just believe it with every aspect of my heart.
Pretty good way to end the week on Bulls Beat. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.